Okay, I warned you. One drip and you're out.
Oh, come on.
Out now.
It's going to melt outside.
It's melting inside, too.
But, Bobby.
Out.
Thank you very much.
You're not welcome.
Situation here, open up.
It's only second week of the summer and there's already been a dead fish in the pool.
We're trying to get it back alive.
Water balloons thrown at tourists.
Balloons! Balloons!
I failed as a mother, Moni.
Yeah, Mom, you're a disgrace.
A24, this studio. If Disney is my favorite studio for making the blockbuster entertainments, making the fantastic animated films that they put together, everybody knows they got Marvel, they're doing some things with Star Wars here, you know, they put out certain films that's just like, whatever, okay. Then they do a little smaller films like Queen of Cotway or Million Dollar Arm. If that's my favorite studio for the big films right there, the big studio films, A24... that's got to be the best studio working today as far as these films that go. And it's funny enough, it's like one of my other favorite studios, Leica. They don't make no damn money. And some of their films get wide releases. I think their highest grossing film that they've made is probably Moonlight. And even really, that didn't really make that much money. I think it made $15 million domestically, and that's only because they get, it made $27 million domestically and like $37 overseas, or worldwide $65 million. I know this year they made It Comes at Night, which brought in about $13 million this year. So that's not bad for that horror film, but then again, that was released in 2,500 theaters here. They had Free Fire as well that came out earlier this year. If I'm not mistaken, that may have been 1,500 theaters. That did terrible. That made like $2 million. And I actually saw it. I didn't see it opening weekend, but I finally saw it. And damn, what a fun film that was. You know, exciting. Brie Larson killing it here. Woodshock, that just came out back in September. That was the Kirsten Dunst film I always talk about. And it was directed by two female directors who just got out of the fashion industry, if I'm not mistaken. They wanted to make this movie here. I hear it's very unique. I've heard some not so great things about the film, but it's like it's one of those you should see the judge on your own type deal here. So I have not seen that one yet, but I probably will be checking that out by the time we get to the Best Of story. And then they did Ghost Story in the summer, which I thought was another fantastic film from them as well. And now we're here. Oh, and they did Good Time as well. They did Good Time. That killed it for me. Now we're at this film here, The Florida Project. I remember seeing the trailer, and I forgot which movie I was watching when I saw it. It might have been another A24 film. It might have been a Good Time. But I was watching that trailer, and I said, man, there's something about that trailer. It just had a lot of energy to it. It felt really heartfelt. It felt real, too, and that was another thing. Then I looked up the director of it, which was, Sean Baker. And I was like, oh, Sean Baker did this. This is probably going to be the realest film this year. It's probably going to be one of the most inspirational films out this year as well, too. Now, obviously, that was before I saw Detroit. But this one, I would say, covers a different story that I don't think most films today in Hollywood, they don't cover this kind of story here. And this story, to me, was just intriguing. It was sad. I had some moments I laughed. And that's what Sean Baker does, man. He just knows how to bring the best of humanity out of his actors that he has in films here. And talking about The Florida Project, like I said, and if you don't know who Sean Baker is, he made films like Star. He made Tangerine like 2 years ago. I saw that on Netflix 2 years ago when it came out and stuff. And I watched it. I wasn't blown away by most critics was. But I was like, this is a truly different, unique story in a dirty, grimy side of L.A., about a chick looking trying to find out if her pimp cheated on her, but I thought it was still unique, and I was like, this guy, he's probably gonna become one of my favorite directors working today. He made before Tangerine was this film called Starlet, which I thought was just intriguing as hell. But my favorite film of him before this film came out was Prince of Broadway. I love Prince. He writes his films too. Prince of Broadway was just incredible to me. And usually his stories, he likes to talk about, you know, real life situations that's going on in the country. Whether it's immigration, homeless, being on the grimy side, looking for your man or something like that. Like, he tells real and unique and interesting stories here. And that's what I love about him. He's probably up there as in my top three as favorite directors right now. And now that he's teamed up with A24, that just makes everything all a little bit better here. You know, it's incredible what this studio does, too, because taking it from the Blumhouse now, where they just throw out movies left and right and they're kind of shit sometimes, whatever. A24, man, they make these quality, mind-thinking, real-life films here that just totally just take you off grab. Like, Good Time was just such a unique and different experience I've saw in a theater here this year. And I was watching it and was just like, this is just batshit crazy, and yet I can't take my eyes off of. And then here with A24, they capture a richer side of humanity in here, which I really did love about the film. So this was one of my most anticipated. I also wanted to see William Dafoe. A little side notes about, I should go ahead and give a plot synopsis first before I get into anything. So we got The Florida Project. Follows this girl, young actress here, Brooklyn Prince. Man, remember a time ago where I used to complain about child actors and stuff and go like, Jesus Christ, these child actors, today they suck. Now, like, it's just been, I don't know if it was Jacob Tremblay that started this from Room, but ever since I saw that movie, it's just like, man, these kid actors have been stepping it up. And these are kid actors that's never been in films before. They feel real. They feel natural. They don't feel forced like they're trying to memorize a script or anything like that. And I felt the same way about Brooklyn Prince. I thought she was amazing. Now, will this be another year where another child actor probably gets snobbed of an Oscar? Most likely it will be. But that's okay, though, because if she's listening to this, you did a fantastic job, I must say, Miss Prince. And that's a weird-ass name to have, too, by the way. She's Brooklyn with two N's. You know Jay-Z, someone is going, ha! She plays Monet in here. And she's the daughter of, how do you say this girl's name? Bria Venati? She plays Haley, who's the mother in the film. Now, Bria, it's funny because I saw an interview with Sean Baker, William Dafoe, Brooklyn Prince, and Bria. And they were asking her where did Sean Baker find this actress at, and he was just like, honestly, I found her off Instagram, you know. I found her. He was like, I was making this movie, and he was like, they gave me a bunch of actors, and none of them came off as real to me of delivering this story. And I think he said a friend or someone he knows told him, hey, check out this girl's Instagram page, you know. She seems like she's what you're looking for your film here. And so he did, and he said, that's spot on what I was looking for. She is exactly what I was looking for. So this is her first time acting as well, too. I thought she nailed it in her part as well. She, and mainly just because, well, it seems like this is right up her kind of alley of what to do and stuff. But I thought she did a fantastic job. So either way, they live in a motel. And I forgot, I think the motel is called the Magic Kingdom. And basically this whole motel, honestly, is just filled with people that are pretty much homeless, living paycheck to paycheck, just trying to make it to stay in this hotel until they can find the next gig to just get them back on their feet. Most of them have kids. It's a multicultural of races in this hotel. Saw some Spanish people, white people in there. You know, and we're following this kid as she has a friend who's played Scooty, who's Christopher Rivera. And, oh, man, I wish I could remember his mom's name. Spanish lady in here, too. I bet if I saw her. Okay, never mind. I bet if I don't see her, yeah, I guess I'm not seeing her. And they're kind of best friends either way, though. So, and they meet a new girl because her name is Jancy in here. She's played by Valerie Cotto, who's just, she's just adorable, you know. And the way they meet her is by spitting on her mom's car, and then next, you know, Jancy comes. Her mom tells their mother and say, you need to clean this shit up, whatever. Well, she builds this friendship, and we go on this journey here with this girl. And it starts off with the kids, and then it kind of works its way into getting into the mother, Haley here, where we kind of watch her story and how she struggles to make ends meet and struggle on a day-to-day basis just to bring a paycheck in just so she can continue living in this motel here. Then we start to get into some underground shit where, you know, she starts to, let's just say, slanging perfume at one point. She's in and out of jail. You don't see it in the movie, but she says it. She's in and out of jail. She's tattooed up. Nobody would hire. She's constantly smoking weed. She lets her kid runs around with the other kids in the motel. They just run. They're crossing largest highways because they live literally. The motel is like literally down the street from Disney World and stuff. And it's funny because, you know, you go in Disney World, it's like the magical kingdom itself and stuff. And you go outside of it, just down the street, it's the fucking slums of Florida. And it's kind of like Washington, D.C. You see the White House and all these towers and statues and monuments. You know, that's the most beautiful thing is you ever see. And then you look behind it, and it's the most disgusting city you probably could look at here. Same thing goes for here in Florida as well. And you know, we start to get into types of details where, well, she can't make any more money, so she decides to, she was taking photos with her daughter in the, like, swimsuits and stuff like that, and found out that one of the photos she was posting on Craigslist to, you know, solicitate sucking dick, if you will, to make ends meet, and doing it in the same motel that her daughter is in, and just by putting her in the bathroom with the music blasting and put her in the bath. I was like, oh my God. And the whole motel, the city, everybody knows about it because there's videos of her online doing it and stuff. She's on fucking porn sites now. And, you know, it just gets out of hand. It's crazy. It's control of. The movie cuts off with a picture or a shot of, you know, her trying to clean herself up a little bit because she knows that they're going to investigate her. And she cleans up a little bit, you know, cleans up part the motel up, and they show up anyway, and they're like, we're taking your child from you. Movie cuts off with this girl, Brooklyn Prince here, trying to make me come to tears here and crying my ass off when she's just crying in tears, realizing she's about to go live in foster care and the state's about to take her away from her mother. And you can definitely, even though her mother is probably one of the worst mothers living in fucking film cinema here, you just felt something about the chemistry that these two people had, and it just worked so well. And you know, it's always a sad thing in some aspects to see a kid get taken away from their parent, even if they are in shitty situations like that. It was tugging at some heartstrings there, I'm not gonna lie. And then she goes run to her friend Jancy, and they run off into Jancy just takes her and runs off, and they're running off into Disney World. And actually, you know what? The movie just kind of fucking cuts off. And that's probably my one criticism I had of the film. I was loving the film, and then it just cut off. Just fiddled away. It's a weird way of how I just told that plot synopsis here, because I can't really go over all the details in order of how things went down. Because, well, it's not a... It felt like an ad-lib film or whatever. It felt non-scripted. It felt like they were just going in the motion of what it's like to live homeless in a motel, paycheck to paycheck type deal. Being a kid, bringing back that CH word that I hate of just, you know, going out and hanging out with your friends and playing in the most uncommon of places and shit, and just being a badass, to be honest. I don't mean a badass like in a good way, like, oh, that chick right there, she badass. No, I mean a badass like, you need to take a belt to that kid's ass right there, you know? So to get over the ending here, when it just cuts off, I remember just sitting there, and I remember a couple of people still sitting there and just going, wait, that's it? Oh man, first he was just tugging at my heartstrings. He was doing it really good, and this Monet and Haley, they were acting their asses off in this scene, and then it just does this runaway into Orlando or Disney World, and it just shuts off, and I'm like, man, I guess we know what's gonna happen at this point here. You know, she's clearly gonna be taken away to, you know, child custody and stuff. But still, it's like the way that just cut off. This is like really just kept it from being possibly one of my favorite films, if not one of the best films made out this year. To just being, I like this film a lot, a lot. The ending kind of really sticks with you as much too, because you're enjoying yourself so much here. But let's go ahead and get off the ending. I want to get into the performances here. Performances are fantastic in this film, from the kid actors to the adult actors. William Dafoe, my God, man, this dude, I tell you, he's one of the best. There's a reason why he was Spider-Man, and people say he should play this character here. I know, what was the last thing we seen him in, to be honest? Well, besides Death Note. He's in Great Wall. Oh, shit. Oh, man, he was in that movie, what was the name of it? A Family Man, too. That everybody remember that, Gerard Butler film and stuff? Oh, man, he's been in some shitty films recently, but Man, he was. He was in Finding Dory, though, last year, so that's something here. I would say, though, this was probably one of his best performances in a long time. I mean, not to say that he doesn't always bring it, because he does. I think William Dafoe always shows up to play. But in here, he felt realistic. He felt like a real person. You relate to the character in some aspects or another, because remember, he's the manager of this hotel here, this motel, and he's got a job to do too. But man, he tries and tries so hard to put up with some of the shit that goes on with these people, but he realizes that they have kids, and he doesn't have the heart in him to put them out. You know, it's like, because, you know, they tell one person, you know, this is a temporary place, you know, you can't live here forever and stuff. But you know, he sometimes is lenient, lets things slide or whatever. And you know, being in a man in his position too, how could you not, man? I mean, that's got to be the hardest job ever. If this hotel, which I'm sure is real, I don't know if the situation is like that or so. I'm sure there are some motels around, even in my area, in LA area, and everything too, that are like this. I don't know if it's pertainingly true to this motel here. If it is, it just probably got a payday. Well, actually, this movie probably ain't gonna make any money, so never mind. Didn't get a payday, but that's got to be the hardest job without a shadow of a doubt here. Isn't he gonna be an Aquaman too? I don't know. I think William Dafoe's gonna be an Aquaman, right? People, correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, that sucks, man. Anyway, though, because usually these big films he's been in lately, they kind of suck. But the girl here, Brooklyn Prince, I thought she did a fantastic job. She's so clever. It's like she's kind of a little shit, I'm not gonna lie. Where if she was talking shit to you, you'd be like, I'd fucking take my belt off and tear your ass up with it, whatever shit. Be like, don't you ever talk to adults like that again. I know I'd get my ass beat if I ever got caught talking like this one if I was a kid. But there is something about watching this girl just, because even though she runs off on her own, she knows how to handle shit. Like, she any adult that comes her way, she's a child con artist. She knows how to work her way around there, and maybe that's because her mother taught her that or whatever, or lets her do whatever the fuck she wants and stuff. But she is just fantastic, and she just sells it in every scene she in. Now, she comes off too as a despicable person. I'm not gonna lie, there's very little few people in here you'd like. This movie has a lot of hateable characters here. But there's something about this girl's charm where she just brings something where you just like, oh, she's just a kid in some aspects, whatever. But then when she does something fucked up, you just like, please. But at the same time, you're kind of rooting for her that nothing bad happens to her, because I didn't know what this movie was about. I didn't know what to take. I'm thinking like, is she going to get abducted? Is something going to happen to her? I hope they don't go to the extreme or she gets run over by a car or a shot. They did have this creepy ass scene in this film too, though, where the kids of this motel are all playing in the picnic area where you can eat and stuff. And this creepy old man just showed up. And I thought he lived in the hotel or something, but he kind of just comes out of nowhere. And he's talking to the kids and stuff like that. And William Dafoe sees it from a distance. He's like, huh, let me go over here real quick. Let me have a chat with this guy. And as soon as William Dafoe grabs him by the shoulder, I was like, oh my God, is this dude a pedophile? It was the creepiest fucking scene I saw in this movie. And I was just sitting there. I was like, oh, dude, this dude had to have been like in his late 50s, 60s or something like that. And he's like staring at these kids like he's fucking Pennywise and It right now, whatever. Just, he's salivating over it. He's like, I'm like, oh, come on, man. What? I got it. Okay. In some conditions, I believe there's cures and stuff like that. But like, what is it about a fucking pedophile that you look at a kid and go, like, I want that or whatever? I was like, I don't get that at all. Like, I've been around a lot of kids in my time. Never once looked at them and just like, damn, I wonder what that feels like. No, nobody thinks that. So it's like, what in your fucked up mind do you think, man, look at that kid right there. That's fucking creepy. I don't know if it's just because of, I'm putting this in quote, their innocence or whatever, or maybe just because you can have your way with them or something like that. Either way, it's fucking gross. So when I saw William Dafoe grab him, it was kind of a funny sequence once William Dafoe got him away from the kids. He's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I want to get a soda. That's all. I stopped by for a soda. And he keeps like looking back at the kids. He's like, no, the soda's over here. Let me take it to it. And he's like, go ahead, get your soda. And Dwayne Defoe's watching. He's like, wait a minute. I thought you said you was thirsty. Go ahead and drink that soda, man. And as he's about to take a sip, he's like, this is good soda. William Dafoe knocks out his hand. And William Dafoe says, get the fuck out of here. And then William Dafoe, He did the funniest thing this career he could possibly do, other than sleep. But as this dude was like trying to scurry away, William Dafoe kicked him in the ass. I was like, God damn right, you kick him in the ass again. I don't know what it is. I find it always hilarious when somebody gets kicked in the ass or whatever, especially when they're not looking. William Dafoe grabbed him too and then took his wallet and said, oh, look at this. Got his name right. He's just like, I'll be sure to tell the police to keep your old ass away from the from kids and parks and stuff like that. He's like, I was lost. I was looking for a soda. He's like, get the fuck out of here now, you disgusting piece of shit. I was like, yes. Thank you, William Dafoe. There's great moments in here with the mother here, Haley. And I don't mean great moments as far as her being a good parent or anything like that, because she's a piece of shit throughout the whole damn film. But the moments in here that I mean are kind of great, or at least great for the storytelling itself, is when, you know, she realizes she can't make ends meet. I will say, though, as disgusting as she is, and I don't mean disgusting as far as, like, that's a nasty, well, she kind of is, I guess. But I don't mean disgusting in the sense, I mean disgusting in the sense of she's just an awful mother. My God, man, you can definitely tell that she loves her child in here. Her and Brooklyn Prince, they have such great chemistry together. You would really believe that that's her daughter, or they're, like, good friends. And you see them in interviews and stuff. You can tell they really built something between the two here. And watching it, she just has those little moments of where she's hanging out with her daughter when stuff goes bad. And it's like, you can tell Haley, she needs Monet in her life. Like, that Monet is kind of what keeps her striving and, if anything, alive in some aspect, to where she stays away from the hard stuff of the drugs and maybe hardcore out drinking and stuff like that. So, you know, that child really does bring a lot in her life to live for and bring really happy moments. And there was another creepy-ass moment, though, too, where she's doing she's fucking some dude or whatever, and the child's in the bathroom, and the door just opens up, and the Monet looks up, whatever, and the dude is like, oh, there's a fucking kid in here, dude. And she's like, I thought I told you the bathroom is off limits or whatever, get out of there and stuff. She's like, there's a fucking kid in here. You saw you here in the bath, and then you see the child, Monet, she's in the bathtub. She just closes the curtain slowly, and she just puts her head down, and I was like, God damn, this girl is great. This girl is great. It's just that one little moment right there. It's like she never reacts to the things in a way and stuff, but like you could tell in just like little moments like that, she knows exactly what her mother does and stuff, but she just, she's in that, she's a child. She doesn't acknowledge it or bring it up, because how would you do it or anything like that? I thought that scene was just so fucking great. It was disgusting, but it was great in some aspects. I don't know if this dude had clothes on or what, but plus, not to mention, this girl's in the bathtub. She ain't got clothes on. I'm just like, ugh, God. It's even worse when her friend that lives downstairs, who they have a falling out because the kids that are playing, they set fire to these condos where you could tell drug addicts was up in here and prostitutes. I was really hoping these kids didn't run into some fucking drug dealer in there or something. Actually, A24 could have made a fucking universe here and just had, what's his name, Mahershala Ali show up from Moonlight and be like, what y'all doing in here? Just like he did with Black in that movie, whatever. Come on, y'all hungry? Let me take y'all get something to eat. So, yeah, they could have had a universe. A24 Studio fans. Free Fire could have had, they could have all had that gun shootout in here and stuff. So, they probably did film this in the same location. Actually, Moonlight was in Miami. So, yeah, I guess it was Florida still. And they burn it down, and then, you know, the mother finds out Scooty, like, set that place to fire, and it's just like, you know how much trouble we can get for this, whatever. So he's like, I don't want you hanging around them no more. And there's just this scene where her former friend, at least here, I wish I knew this actor's name and the character's name as well, too, but I'm scrolling, the black-eyed lady, damn, kind of character name is that? Yeah, I don't know this woman's name. It could have been, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see it, but I don't remember her name in the film here. But either way, though, I know who Gloria is, though. She's the chick in the trailer with no top on. Old lady here is just saying, what, I want my titties to hang out, you know? And the kid's yelling boobies, which I think any kid would do, to be honest. And her friend calls her out and say, you don't think everybody knows what you're doing? And then she pulls out her phone and show her a video and a picture of her posing in the motel, random dudes showing up and stuff like that. And it's like, oh. And Haley just lets off on this girl. She starts punching this girl in the eye like crazy. And meanwhile, Scooty's sitting there watching, too, the whole time. He's just like, man, it's like what these kids have to go through, too, just watching these type of deals and just looking like nothing else happens. You know, it's a normal day. It's kind of like that scene in 12 Years a Slave when Chiwetel Ejiofor is just being hung by the rope and the kids are just playing in the background. Like this is a normal thing here. I thought it was as you can tell, I love the film. I thought it was a beautiful film. I love the direction in it. I love the music in here. I know the song that's in the trailer that builds up. I love that song here. And I thought it fit great for the trailer as well. I think it's, what's her name? Katie Herzig? Make a Noise. That's the name of the song here. Really great song. They use that song also as well in the movie, and I thought it really fit. There is some shitty-ass trap music being played because, well, Haley is a fucking... What do the kids say these days? A thought? Is that what it is? Yes. It's basically a hoe. She's a ratchet. There you go. Some of the slang that the kids of the youth today, that the youth of today, what they say and stuff. She's all the above, whatever you can think of that describes pretty much a hoe. That's what she is right here. But in some aspects, she tries her best to be a good mother. She's just been given a bad set of cards there, so she has no point but to just check out there. What I love most about this movie, though, is I love the story. It's something unique and new and refreshing to me, and I expect no less from Sean Baker as well, too, being the director of what he usually makes films about. What was so unique about it is to me is I just, you know, we all know about this side of America because we always see, like, the homeless side, but, you know, what about that everyday struggling type homeless side, you know, because this is another phenomenon of homeless in America here. Of living out of motels and paycheck to paycheck. I think there was a recent poll that was just taken of how many Americans live paycheck to paycheck. I could have got this number wrong. I know, I think it was like in the 40s, maybe 46% or something like that, which is a goddamn shame to be honest. But nonetheless, hey, that is the fact of this country here. And so I thought it was just really something important to see. You know, I know I haven't seen Blade Runner yet. I know that's coming out this week. I'm already hearing people saying it's a masterpiece. It's a phenomenal piece of work. I always look at films, you know, the word masterpiece is always thrown around, like Dunkirk and stuff like that. To me, these are the type of films for me that are clearly the masterpieces, even though I didn't really like that way. I'm literally not lying. It's that, like, that last 10 seconds. It just cuts off, whatever. I'm not a fan of that, but at the same time, I feel like these elements of storytelling here is what make films masterpieces, you know, because they really have something to say and they're trying to tell you a story. And that's the thing about Sean Baker. He never beats it over your head, neither, too. And that's what you appreciate about his films. He's telling you a story. He's telling you the elements of what's happening socially. And he gives you the beginning, middle, and end. And it's never once just overbearing or just trying to tug at your heartstrings, your heartstrings there, just to, you know, get a fake emotion out of you just by saying, oh, they're human beings, don't you care for them or something like that. No, he really does work to get that out of you, and it's well deserved as well, too. I'm going to give this a see it. Man, fuck, I think I'm going to get a high seat on it, to be honest. That ending really does just, like, take it out of you. I guess I was expecting, I don't know, maybe I would have ended it with maybe her in the cop car in the back seat or something like that, and them taking her away and looking at her mother from afar as, I don't know, maybe the, I'm assuming she's going to jail probably or whatever stuff. So I probably would have did something like that. Even me saying that really don't sound that good neither here. I don't really know how I would have ended it, and plus I'm not playing what kind of movie I would have made. Fuck it, I'll give it a high C. Look, I've given a lot of shit this year high C, so actually I haven't, to be honest with you. I gave Transformers was the first film I think I gave high C too, so I'll give it a high C too. I did not care for that ending in that last 10 seconds there, but am I really gonna dictate a 2-hour film on the last 10 seconds? Maybe I should, probably, but I love this film so much, whatever. I thought the performances were great. I love the score that was being played in the background. The actresses in here that were just fantastic, and some of them was their first time acting in a film. William Dafoe shows up in true form here. Like, I know him to be a great actor and stuff. Just an all-around fantastic movie, so I'm definitely dropping a high seat on it.
New job?
Yeah.
If you're working, who's looking after mommy?
You're not my father.
I don't want to be your father.
You can't treat me like this. You don't think everybody knows what's up, Haley? Everybody.
She's about to cry. I can always tell when you're
adults are about to cry.